Hello everyone, welcome back to Chibi and Chill, the anime podcast, and in this week's episode, it's all about the Easter eggs and details of the Studio Ghibli films. Now, I'm a massive Studio Ghibli fan, but I've not watched all of them, but the ones that I have watched, especially this week, I've managed to find a lot of little Easter eggs or tidbits of maybe creatures or signs or little drawings in the background or stuff in the background, like from the houses or cities and stuff. There actually are nods from other worlds within Ghibli or other areas of the Ghibli world or even different films from Ghibli themselves. In this episode, we're going to dive into all those details and I'll put some pictures up on the screen if you're watching this on YouTube that you can kind of see the comparisons and see where they're from and kind of deepen the knowledge and appreciation for the amount of detail that Studio Ghibli really do put into their work. But this week is all about Ghibli and the bucket list is no different this week. So this week I made a great bit of progress on the bucket list and I've tried to make such a conscious effort to try and fill out some of the blank bits you can see on the poster behind me if you're watching this on YouTube and really try and get those quick wins underway. Not all the poster is series, some of it is films. So I really want to kind of scratch off more of the poster, get more colour in there because it is nearly September. This is the third week in August that we're in, that this episode is going to go out. And I need to get more of that post filled out. It needs to be much more done. But this week I managed to get a good chunk of movement done on the podcast. So we watched Castle in the Sky, Laputa Castle in the Sky. And that one I absolutely fell in love with. I felt that this one was much more an action-packed Ghibli film. And a lot of the time, Ghibli films, I always find them being quite calm. They're a cozy film. But this one felt a lot more action-packed, a lot more kind of thriller action-y than what I expected it to be. But we all know that the Ghibli films love a hint at war and that kind of nature versus human conflict. And this one, I adored this one. I don't know why I haven't watched this one sooner now that I've watched it now. But, oh my god, do check this one out. It is so, so good. It's kind of like Atlantis meets Zelda meets Howl's Moving Castle and all that kind of vibe all put together. A bit magical, a bit old school, kind of ancient feeling. And then there's like the ruins and things that reminded me of Zelda. It is so, so great. I really, really enjoyed this one. And then the next one was Nausicaa, the Valley of the Wind. This one was one I watched literally just before this episode recording. And again, I actually thought I'd watched this one, but I don't think I actually ever did before. If not, I've watched it twice now. But this one was a really nice one. This one, I am really conscious about the environment and being kind to the planet and doing what we can to be nice, like recycle and sponsor WWF, that kind of thing. And this one stayed true to all those nods that Studio Ghibli have in their films of being, having those messages about the environment. This one is all about protecting the environment and kind of working with it and trying to be in balance with it after harming it so much, harming the earth so much. And this one was right up my street. Again, I absolutely adored this one. This one got me gripped right from the beginning. I thought it was super, super glorious. The actual world, as grim as some areas that we kind of look from the machinery point of view, there's this really wonderful, weird, extravagant kind of natural world that surrounds them and how the humans are trying to live with it, as dangerous as it can be, but they kind of work out why it is. It is really, really interesting. If you're super into nature and protecting the earth and all that kind of thing, do watch this one. It is such a good recommendation for that kind of vibe. The next and third and final Ghibli film on this list is The Cat Returns. This one was all about kind of the cat kingdom and this hidden world of cats that's apparently all around us. And this one was super, super cute. This one felt like one of the Ghibli films where it felt a lot more kiddified. So I didn't quite get into this one quite as much. I couldn't quite connect to this one quite as much. I've got a lot of cats. So it was quite nice seeing a lot of the characters being cats. That was cute, I have to say. But I don't think I got into this one quite as much as Castle in the Sky or Nausicaa. I didn't quite get into this one quite as much, but I'm still glad to have watched it. I do want to work my way through all the Ghibli films, so it's nice to kind of tick that off, and I will be scratching it off the bucket list at some point soon as well. So excited to get another box out of the way. But I've met some series developments as well this week. So Naruto is now on 166 out of 200. So close to Shippuden. And then we're on Cowboy Bebop. So this week I started slightly another series because why would I finish one before starting another one? That just doesn't sound right, does it? So I started another series this week. And it's Cowboy Bebop. And Cowboy Bebop is one of the ones I know about, I've heard of, I know roughly about, but never dived into it. And I never started it when it came out in the 2000s, I think it was. Maybe it's an 80s one. I'll put it up on the screen. But this one is more like a bounty hunter, more kind of gripping, thrillery kind of anime. And actually, I'm on episode 6 at the minute, and I got really into it. I'm actually really surprised I did get into this. I didn't think from the visuals I've seen, I didn't quite think it would grab me, if I'm honest. I didn't think it was going to be for me. Not that my kind of vibe. But actually, 6 out of 26 episodes so far, I think I'm being proven wrong. I'm not 100% sold on it just yet, but maybe in time, it'll really change. But diving into an older anime like that is so, so nostalgic, and it's so, so nice. It's so nice. There's kind of a certain style to them that is so different and so nice. Maybe it's because I grew up with that kind of style of anime, that maybe it has a more special place in my heart now for kind of watching them nowadays. But honestly, it's really, really interesting. Didn't think I'd like it, and I think I do. I'm not 100% sold, but as I kind of make more progress on the 26 episodes, finish season, and then do the movie as well, I think then I'll have a final verdict on that one. But a good chunk of progress done on the bucket this week, finally. I'm so, so happy to have finally done that, made some more progress, and hopefully we'll keep this momentum going. I kind of really need to try and get that poster filled up as it should. I really set this challenge for 2024, and I'm really trying to not regret that because there's so much on that list. But let's try and do it. We love a challenge, so why not? But enough about the bucket list challenge. I'm sweltering. I'm going to open a window, and then let's dive in to the details, Easter eggs, and hidden gems of the Studio Ghibli films and the worlds that interconnect between them. So the Ghibli films are filled with these little Easter eggs and kind of special details that you'll only actually notice if you've watched other films from the Ghibli series or film library, I guess. And it's these little moments of Easter eggs and details that make the films super, super special. As a fan of Ghibli films, and it'll make you kind of want to rewatch them over and over again to find more of them in other films or even in the same film. So in this episode, I'm going to dive through a bunch of Easter eggs and details that you need to try and find in your next rewatch of the Ghibli films. So the first one is all about the film Whisper of the Heart, and this one is there's a Totoro book in the library. So the scene where Shizuku has gone to find a book as part of her plan to read 20 books during the summer, and she picks out a book from one of the shelves beneath her, like right where her kind of face is, where she's reaching up. There's a book that says Totoro on the side, and it's so, so cute. It's not My Neighbor Totoro, that would have been too small, I guess, but they've just put Totoro on the spine of the book, and that is really, really cute. It's only small, and you'll miss it after a few seconds, but it's nice if you do pause this in the right point. You'll see a little film, well, a little book that says Totoro on the side. In the next one, this one's actually Kiki's Delivery Service, which is one of my favourite ones. And there's actually a young Hayao Miyazaki in the crowd that's around the television in one of the scenes. So in the top right corner of the image, you'll see this character, and he's got like bushy eyebrows, a little white shirt on, big chunky black glasses. And it's actually a little like character version of Hayao Miyazaki, the obviously really famous director and animator from Studio Ghibli. And it's exactly a lookalike of him. It's super, super cute. And I feel like the more kind of digging we'll do for these specific kind of ones where we see a character being animated, the more we'll kind of see them in the films. I feel like there's so many, many more. I feel like there's so many more of these than what I think there are listed. There'll be loads. Now that I kind of feel like these aren't one of the ones I thought I'd expect to have found, but this is super, super cute. So this one is a little bit of the mix of worlds. And I don't know if they do these because of the idea of just giving fans Easter eggs and just kind of allowing us to kind of find these little gems of other characters in other worlds? Or is it because the worlds are really interconnected? I'm really unsure whether what kind of theory works best for that one. But in Howl's Moving Castle, there's Pazu from Laputa Castle in the Sky lookalike runs across the screen. And it's kind of like he like runs down the street past Sophie from Howl's Moving Castle. And it looks just like, it's like same kind of outfit, same kind of size. And I wonder, because it's Howl's Moving Castle, is it that Sophie, the world that she's in, is actually very heavily linked to Castle in the Sky? Is it because that's so linked? Or is it just an Easter egg that maybe some fans will notice this, some won't kind of thing? I think it's maybe the first one where actually there is a connection between the rest of the Ghibli world and Howl's Moving Castle in one big universe kind of solution. The next one is that in Spirited Away, in the big bathhouse in like the baby's bedroom, her baby's bedroom, there's like all the giant cushions, giant toys, and they're kind of like the plushes on the floor. One of the big cushions has Jinji from Kiki's Delivery Service embroidered twice, so one upside down and one the right way up, and it looks, it's identical, it is exactly Gigi, and this is so cute. And I don't know, maybe they should make this an actual cushion because it's really really cute, but this was one that I never ever saw in the film. In fact, actually I haven't seen any of these in real life. Now that I've found like these lists that feature these, I really want to go and rewatch them and find them again, because honestly, they're so hidden, but some of them really aren't. This cushion's in plain view. In this film, little, like, scene, it's right there. It's not hard to spot, but it's literally there. And this isn't a small scene either. So, I don't know why I didn't even notice this, but love that Gigi's getting a little bit of, like, extra screen time on a cushion on Spirited Away. In the next one, in Kiki's Delivery Service again, Kiki's Delivery Service seems to get a lot of details, and maybe it's because of the cats and stuff, maybe it's just because of the actual vibe. But Kiki's Delivery Service, you can see Mei and a mini Totoro are painted on a little cardboard house on the bookshelf, the kind of like where these little giraffe and the little like jars and stuff. There's a little house that's painted. It looks like a little dollhouse, but maybe it's just like a little decoration. But you can see a little Mei and a tiny Totoro look alike. It's got all the little like fur circle here and stuff. It's super, super cute. But also, this one feels like a two-for-one, because in the last one that we just spoke about, there's a little giraffe plush on the floor as well. And that bookcase in Kiki's Delivery Service has the same giraffe on the shelf above the house I've just mentioned. So it's kind of like a two-for-one in this one, which is really, really interesting. I kind of feel like the man that's next to the house in this shot is from something else, so I might need to do some further digging to see what that is. So Whisper of the Heart is one of those kind of really interesting and kind of more coming of age kind of stories for Ghibli. And this one, in the scene where we see the Baron figure being actually like made and kind of finished off, there's a mini and a medium Totoro and Gigi dolls or plushes maybe in the workshop behind the Baron. So you can see like a little plush of the little white Totoro and the big blue, well, medium Totoro, you know, when they're usually in like the little line. They're in the background in front of each other, and then to the left of this little doll that's kind of like sitting, you can see a little Gigi as well, which is adorable. And again, I never ever spotted these. There are so many hidden details. It's these little ones that, because you're so focused on watching what the actual characters are doing in the scenes, there's so much that you can miss. But honestly, these are so special. I absolutely love it when they're kind of painted in the background like this. There are some Easter eggs where they're maybe not specifically from the world of Ghibli, like the characters and things like that. But sometimes they just like to put their name on stuff. And from up on Poppy Hill, there's a Ghibli sign on the side of the ship. It's like on a little like oval, like a really like old school style sign, and it just says Ghibli, which is nice. And there's another one of these on the bus on Kiki's Delivery Service, where it's kind of like a bus when she's, I think she's falling or she's about to fall off the broom or something. I can't remember the actual scene, like what's happening in the scene, but in the picture you can see it says Ghibli absolutely massive on the side of the bus. I feel like I did spot this, but now that I've seen it again, I'm really questioning whether I did, and it's most likely that I didn't, let's be fair. But this one is, these are more kind of just nice that they just put their name on big things in the world to kind of just nod to themselves. I think that's kind of nice. In Whisper of the Heart, Porco Rosso is engraved on a grandfather clock when the, I believe it's the dad that unlocks the clock, like unscrews it or something. It's Porco Rosso is just engraved right below his hand. And a weird one, there's not a lot of Porco Rosso nods. I don't think it was quite as popular as the other Ghibli films, so it's nice to nod to a lesser known, or I don't want to say lesser loved, because it's particularly not, but one that's lesser known. Finding the right greeting card can be a real pain. Finding the right birthday card, anniversary card, graduation card, or whatever the occasion may be, can be super, super difficult. To find one that suits that person, suits their vibe, or even their interest, or even birthday age. Over on Thoughtful, you can shop thousands of unique design cards by small creators such as myself. Over on Thoughtful, you'll find a card for every occasion, and delivery is fast and reliable with Thoughtful. High quality cards with amazing designs from creators like myself, and on my page, you can shop some anime themed birthday cards for any anime fan or manga fan that I'm sure they'll love. Sometimes the hints or other details aren't particularly a name or a sticker or a doll in the background. Sometimes they're just how the characters are positioned or the energy that's between them. In Spirited Away, when Chihiro, when she goes into the lift with the big radish spirit, there's a really big like homage to the Totoro kind of infamous umbrella bus stop scene, where she's kind of stood and she's kind of like looking up, and she kind of like squished against, like stood really nervously like next to him. That's kind of referenced quite heavily in how Chihiro and the radish giant, I don't want to say giant, I keep wanting to say radish giant, radish spirit, are kind of stood and interacting in this kind of scene, is a good little homage to the Totoro scene. Grave of the Fireflies is one of the Studio Ghibli films I really, really want to watch some point soon, I've heard. This is like a really special one, and I love the kind of war, really heavily war, styled ones. That's not right. But you know what I mean, you know what I'm saying. They're kind of like war-themed ones. And the poster for Grave of the Fireflies, if you increase the exposure and kind of like raise the brightness, there's actually a plane in the background behind the two kids. I haven't watched this one, so I don't actually know their names. But you can see there's a plane, like a bomber, in the background. And this makes a lot of sense for the type of different dots that are actually on the poster. Some of the dots are fireflies, and some of those are bombs, incendiary bombs from a B-25 bomber in the background. And that one gives me goosebumps a little bit, because that is a really dark and hidden meaning in that poster, and that shows a level of detail that kind of goes in these. In the actual normal exposure, you don't see it at all, and then when you really raise that exposure of the poster, it's there, and it's kind of spooky. One of my favourite ones that really links to my Howl's Moving Castle impacting the rest of the universe or being really connected to the rest of the Ghibli universe is the door dial in Spirited Away. And this is super hidden. Okay, this is really hidden. And it's took, the one image that I found online is kind of like blown up the thing. It looks a little bit like a window. So I'm really unsure whether it is a window, but it's got the exact same colours as the door dial from Howl's Moving Castle. So in the first part of Spirited Away, you can see a stained glass resembling the kind of door dial acting as a portal in Howl's Moving Castle, you know, where it spins and it takes you to a different world. And this signifies that the house of plaster is an entrance into another dimension. That, to me, makes me think that the rest of Howl's Moving Castle, the portals, can actually go in between the worlds that the other Studio Ghibli characters are living in and going through their own stuff in. I think that's really, really interesting. It makes me love Howl's Moving Castle that little bit more, but I find that fascinating. I need people to comment and let me know what they think about this theory of Howl's Moving Castle being like interwoven and interconnected with the rest of the world of Studio Ghibli. We've seen Pazu running through the streets where Sophie was. We've seen the Dordaille on here now in Spirited Away. How many others are there? If you spotted any of these from Howl's Moon Castle in all the other worlds of Studio Ghibli, the other films, please let me know, because I am so into this theory, and it's grabbing me. I am fascinated by this. There are some other really, really small, minute details in the Studio Ghibli films, and these, I'll just run through these really quickly. But in My Neighbor Totoro, the boy, he's got two little like bumps where his vaccinations were, and that is super, super cute. They're not on the other arm, so they are vaccinations. That's where it's on the side that you get a vaccination in. And it is super, super cute. They're on his upper left arm, and it is absolutely super, super cute. The next one is that actually the cat bus from My Neighbor Totoro, when it kind of like flies over and spreads all of its like many, many legs, you can see his little like boy parts, and it kind of confirms that it's a boy. The cat bus is a boy, and that is a detail I didn't think I'd find. But now we know. It's cute, but now we know. The last one that I'll go through really quickly is in Jiro's glasses in The Wind Rises, when these glasses kind of get moved and taken off, the glasses actually distort what's being seen through them. So I have glasses now, so if I move them, you'll kind of see how it kind of changes, like my face might look like it's coming out and things like that. It kind of, they draw the distortion in the glasses, and that is a detail that's just so special. And it's the small little bits, and this is the little tiny rant here, little side part, is that it's these little details, especially in Studio Ghibli or in anime in general, it's these details that make anime different to a cartoon. You know, a cartoon is just this nice kind of and a bit of animation, and anime takes the time to put in these tiny, tiny details of vaccinations, whether the cat bus is a boy and his little parts, or the distortion in the glasses, these hints to other worlds by the animators. It's these special moments that make being an anime fan more special. It's those moments that make us really, truly appreciate what these animators and creators are making and these worlds that they're crafting for us. It makes it so, so special. And honestly, it's these bits that make me really proud to be an anime fan, because they're so, so intricate. And they didn't have to go to these lengths, but they did. And I think that's what makes it anime different. But this episode has been filled with a bunch of Easter eggs on my anime. No. On my Instagram. And I think I'm going to put some pictures of this Studio Ghibli book, because there are plenty in here that I really want to kind of go through. But I need to, it's going to be weird if I kind of sit and literally read the book like this to you guys. That's a little bit bizarre. But there are a bunch of tidbits and bits about the posters and stuff that I think would be really, really interesting. And I kind of want to bring this over into, I might do a post on Instagram, TikTok, maybe on YouTube as well. So do check those out. But I think I'll share some pictures of some of these. I'll carry on the kind of Studio Ghibli theme for my next couple of posts, I think, because I really want to show you guys some of these in more detail, because it shows you some of the posters, the differences, why they're different, and it takes us through some of the like hidden bits of the films. This one's Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, because that's the most recent one I've just watched, and I just think that's really, really interesting. There's loads in here, and I think I'll put some posters, some pictures up on my Instagram of some of these. There's a lot of these that I haven't watched just yet, but I really want to, so I think I'll join me over on Instagram and TikTok, and I'll take some pictures or videos of the pages of this book. It's Studio Ghibli, The Complete Works. This was a gift when my boyfriend got it me, and it is adorable. It's such a cute book. If you're a Studio Ghibli fan, definitely get this. But I think I'll put some pictures on there to stop this episode being super, super long. Maybe I'll do a part two. Maybe I'll do a part two of this video with more of that, the postery, graphic-y kind of side of it. Maybe I'll do that. Let's see. Let's see. But thank you so much for joining me on today's very Studio Ghibli focused episode of details, and then the very Studio Ghibli focused bucket list update as well. I hope you've enjoyed kind of learning some of the little tidbits and details of the Studio Ghibli world and how much effort they actually put into the worlds they make. And they're iconic for a reason, and doing videos like this where I get to kind of dive into some of my favourite films or some of my favourite creators like Studio Ghibli, it makes the world a little bit more special, and I like knowing that other people see these as well and kind of appreciate the Studio Ghibli company animators a little bit more, the creators a little bit more. Be sure to like and subscribe if you're over on YouTube. Follow the podcast, subscribe to the podcast if you're on audio only as well. They really do support the show in ways you cannot imagine, and I'm so, so thankful for everyone that does check out this podcast. It's still a super, super small channel, so every single subscribe, every single like, every comment is really, really appreciated. I cannot thank you guys enough. Please do find me over on social media, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. I'm all over on there, and there's a lot more anime content to find on there as well that isn't on here. So do go find me on there. All the links are in the show notes and in the descriptions. Over in there, you'll find all the like free trial links for Crunchyroll, my birthday card designs, all that good stuff as well. There's plenty to explore down in the show notes, in the descriptions as well. Thank you so much. If you've got a new kind of recommendation for me to watch next on Studio Ghibli Point of View, please let me know which one I should watch next. Thank you so much, and enjoy your whatever anime you're watching right now. Happy anime watching, and I'll see you next Friday for the next episode. Thank you so much, guys. Bye-bye.